Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
What I want to do the next 3 weeks is I want to look at Psalm 23. The theme for this series is guided into the future. We have a God who guides us into the future. And in Psalm 23, David, King David, the one who was a shepherd, became a king, is the one who's writing this psalm, and he gives us insight into how God works in our life. It's a brilliant psalm. It's a powerful psalm. It is maybe the most well-known psalm in the Bible, and it talks about how God guides us. The fact of the matter is that none of us know what the future holds. We might think we do, but it's foolishness to act like we know exactly what's going to happen. I mean, none of us in January of 2020 would have had any idea what would happen in the following months. And honestly, very few of us can even begin to imagine what it will be like 6 months from now. We just don't have any idea. I do know this, that in the middle of this time, God is building his church, God is answering prayer, God is saving people, God is working in the lives of people, and God is doing great and powerful things. He is still in control. In that respect, it's wrong for us, or it would be wrong for us, to get worked up about it, to worry about it, because we have a God who knows who we are. We have a God who knows where we are, and we have a God who knows what you and I need.
That's right, Pastor.
And this psalm reminds us of those realities in a very powerful way, which makes this a psalm of confidence. Our God provides. So let me just give you four things quickly that our God provides. First of all, our God provides relationship. You and I are never alone. You may be doing life single. You're not alone. You may be in an unhappy marriage. You're not alone. You may feel like nobody cares about you. You're not alone. You could be in a family and feel lonely. You're not alone. We have a God who provides us relationship. In Psalm 23 and verse 1, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." Isn't that awesome? I want you to say that. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, I'm going to add a phrase to it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Okay, let's say it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You say, why are you doing that? Because I want the word of God to dwell richly in you. And one of the ways it does that is when you and I commit his word to our memory, when we hide it in our heart, it becomes real to us. It becomes a strength to our body. It brings health to our bones. It gives us encouragement. And you're going to need this word tonight and tomorrow and the next day. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Now, as we look at it, the Lord, anytime you see it in caps like that, it immediately tells us there's two words in the Hebrew for Lord. One is Adonai, the Lord, he is the sovereign. The other, and that's capital L-O-R-D, Adonai. This, when it's all caps, is the word Yahweh. Now, Yahweh is a very significant word to the Jewish people. The high priest would say the name of Yahweh once a year in the Holy of Holies. And when they wrote down the Old Testament and the scribes would copy it, if you go to the land of Israel and you go to Qumran and you're in the community of the Essenes, who are a monastic community, and they would copy down the scripture, the Dead Sea Scrolls, if you've heard of them, they were copied there at Qumran. And what happened was, or what they would do is, the scribes, as they were writing, when they got ready to write Yahweh, what they would do is they would stop, they'd put down their quill, they would go and take a ceremonial bath to cleanse themselves, to purify themselves. They would come back, they'd write the word, then they'd go back and take another ceremonial bath to cleanse themselves, lest somehow there was sin before or sin during. They revered the name of the Lord. It was the fearsome name. It was the awesome name. It was the holy name. It was the name by which God revealed himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses said to the Lord, if I go to the land of Egypt and I tell the Israelites, you've sent me, who should I say you are? What is your name? God said, tell them I am. That's what Lord means, the I am. When Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When he gave these seven different I ams in the Gospel of John, he's saying, I'm the Lord. I am the ever-present I am. That means he's present. He's there right now. He's right with you. The Lord is my shepherd, the eternal, ever-present, covenant-keeping God. He's the one who is right there watching over you. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's there all the time. He's in one eternal now. He is constantly present. There's never a time when he's absent, which is to say, he is there instantly. He is there immediately. He is there always, accessible. Every day, every hour, every moment. The Lord is my shepherd. Isn't that beautiful? It's powerful. It's such a powerful picture because a shepherd cared for many sheep at once, and yet sheep also individually are continually dependent upon the shepherd for all of their needs. And shepherding, think of this, was one of the lowest occupations on the socioeconomic ladder. I mean, to be a shepherd was about as low as you could go. And aren't you glad that our great covenant-keeping God stooped to be a shepherd for sheep like you and me? The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who's watching over us. He's shepherding us, and he's my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Oh, but don't worry about it. He's your shepherd, too. He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. Say to the person next to you, he's my shepherd. He cares for you personally. He cares about you intimately. He cares about you always. He's always there. I don't know what you need tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I just know this. God is right there, right beside you, right with you every step of the way. So God provides relationship. Second, he provides resource. Look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will never lack anything that I need. Anything that I have, you say, well, I've got some things I need. Whatever you need, God will provide. You know, here's the thing. Sheep cannot take care of themselves. In fact, left to themselves, they will lack just about everything. That's why Jesus says, apart from me, in John 15, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And here's the thing. Our shepherd knows exactly what we need, which is why we'll never want for anything. And just like a shepherd, you know what a shepherd's thinking about? A shepherd gets up and a shepherd's thinking about, where am I going to take the sheep to graze them? Where am I going to take them to water them? Because it's not like Missouri. It's not like there's all kind of streams with bubbling brooks and grass all over and trees and shade. It's very arid. It almost looks like a desert there. And so what happens is, as the shepherd is taking the sheep, he's got to be thinking about where he's going to get grass, because it's not abundant. I mean, there's maybe 3 months out of the year where it's a little better, but the rest of the year, it's very hot, very arid. And so a shepherd has to know the terrain. A shepherd has to know where there's water, and a shepherd has to know where the predators are. So here's the shepherd. He's got to know all of those things, and he's got to be preparing as he leads the sheep. Listen, can I just tell you that God knows exactly what you and I need, and he's been preparing for a long time to meet our needs, to take care of us along the way. Isn't that powerful? We're never going to come to him and say, God, I've got to have this, and have him say, I'm sorry, but I that just totally slipped my mind. He's going to say, I know exactly what you need, and I'm prepared. I'm prepared to help you. I'm right there with you. And because he's our resource, third thing I want you to notice is he provides rest. Now watch this in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. After providing relationship, after providing resource, what does this say about our great, incredible God? He says, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I read that and I can't help but think of the Sabbath principle, that principle of one day in seven, you stop. One day in seven, you take a rest. Our tendency is to say, oh, well, you know, I'd love to, but, you know, in my life, it doesn't work that way. Or, well, you know, I got to get ready for work that day. Or what about, I've got this, I've got so much to do, I've got to get caught up, I've got a huge week coming up. And so we have all these reasons why we won't rest. And God says, I want you to rest. He will make us lie down. A part of that is he gives us the command to rest. And then sometimes he just frankly makes us rest. You ever had God do that? Where God just makes you rest. He makes you lie down. I mean, he's a shepherd, and sometimes he has to just take us, you know, and put his arm around us, get close to us. Because, I mean, we're like sheep. I'm going to give an example of who you are. I'm going to bring a mirror out here kind of sorts for you so you can take a look at this. Let's see what we got here. Ah, see? That great? Okay. And what's the sheep's name?
Candy.
Candy, this is Candy. Hi, Candy. Hi, do you want some? Yeah. This is you. This is you. We put you up on the stage, people won't be able to tell the difference. You know what? Candy is totally dependent upon her owner. Candy can't provide for herself. Candy, you know what sheep need? Sheep need four things in order to lay down. First of all, they need to be free from... There we go. That's an amen. Yeah, I agree. So sheep have to be free from fear. They can't feel like somebody's after them, can ya? No, you can't. They have to be free from friction within the flock. They can't feel that there is, you know, another sheep that's trying to push them around, which that can happen in a flock. They also have to be free from hunger, and they have to be free from pests. They can't have like flies or insects eating on them. And if they're free, then they can lay down. But if they're not free of those things, they're not going to lay down. They're nervous, so she's not going to lay down. Now, sometimes what a shepherd will do is they will collapse the legs of the animal and force the sheep to lay down, because unless they lay down, they're not going to digest their food. Are you going to digest your food? I don't know what you're saying there, but let's give you some more of this. Oh yeah, is that good? Yeah. So that's what you and I are like. We are totally dependent upon the shepherd. And I'm telling you what, I'm not a better shepherd than the Lord is. I don't even know Candy. I mean, I've never met Candy till right now. But already, what am I doing? I'm feeding Candy. I'm thinking, you know, Candy'd probably like that. She'd probably like that, wouldn't you? And I'm petting her, and I'm trying to make sure she feels comfortable. And I don't want her to feel alone up here on the stage. Listen, do you think I'm a better shepherd than God? Forget it. I mean, this is how God is with you. It's a good amen, Candy. You're doing a good job. But God cares for you. He loves you, and he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. And we're just crazy old sheep, aren't we, Candy? Let's give Candy a big round of applause. Well, number four, God provides restoration. I'm going to have the musicians come up here. He restores my soul. So to restore means to bring something, to renew it, to bring it back to its original state or its normal state. Now, you could think of, well, you know, he makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, and he restores my soul. Like, you know, yeah, see, that's in that restful moment that I get his restoration. But a lot of scholars feel, and I tend to agree with them, that it's better to see he restores my soul as linked not to what precedes this in verse 2, but what follows it in verse 3. Look what it says. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What happens is, when it talks about paths of righteousness, he leads me in the right path, would be a way to understand that. So what God does is God has a path that's right for you. He has a path, and it's not necessarily the path always that you and I think's right for us. It's like, well, I want to do this, so I think God wants me to do that. God has a path that's right. It's a path of righteousness. It's a path of obedience. If you're disobedient to the Lord, at whatever point you're disobedient from him, you're not on the right path. And the problem with that is this, that when you and I don't walk on the right path, we miss out on the restoration of our soul. You know, there's no rest for the wicked, says the Lord in the book of Isaiah. So what happens is, at whatever degree that you say, you know what, or any of us are not following what we know to be God's right path for us, we're missing out on the restoration. I'm not trying to make this like a heavy burden thing. I'm talking about the value of doing what God is asking us to do. So part of the right path is spending time with the Lord. When I spend time with the Lord, it restores my soul. A part of the right path is reading the Word of God, that when you read the Bible, You say, well, I don't understand all of it. Listen, as you read the Bible, you're not just reading a book. The scripture's divinely powerful. And what it does, it restores your soul. It renews your mind. It brings a restoration to your life. When you're in church, that's part of his right path, that the being together with the saints of God. There's a restoration of your soul. It's not just putting your time in at church. It's restoring your soul. It's bringing a wholeness into your life. When you love your spouse, like the Lord tells you to love your spouse, what happens is it restores your soul. Do you see where I'm headed with this? That as you and I go on the right path, it restores our soul. As we walk close to the Lord, when I know what God's will is for my life and I attend to that and I seek him and I say, God, I just want to walk with you and I want to live a life pleasing to you in the way I talk to people, in the way I do. I want to honor you in the way I do business. Whenever I do that, I experience restoration. And whenever I don't, there is that degree of lacking in an experience of restoration. This is the value of walking close to the Lord. That when you walk close, the closer you and I walk to the Lord in terms of being on that right path, the more we experience his recreative and his restorative work in our life. Now, this should not surprise us because Jesus says this in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 11, and I'm reading it from the Message, are you tired and worn out, burned out on religion, just like burned out on rules, and you're just like, you're worn out, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You know, we walk with him and we recover life. We walk with him and we have a restored life. We walk with him and he's free to work in us that which only he can really work in us. I think a vacation's great, but I would suggest to people, I'm just saying, hey, great to get away, but if your whole summer is spent getting away, I promise you, you are not getting as much good out of your time down at the lake as you would if you were in church. There is a value, there's a restoration of the soul, and you say, oh, I just feel so restored. You know what? Everybody needs time away. I get that. But there's a restoration of walking close to the Lord that happens in our life that's powerful, and the Good Shepherd wants us to have that. He wants you to have that tonight. So across the campuses, here's what I'd like us to do is... Tonight, we're in the presence of the Lord. I wish we could have the altar service, but we're going to be careful on that for right now and just kind of see how things go. But I know this, the Lord knows where you're at. He's close to you right now, and he knows what you need. And so there are many, though, tonight, and here's kind of what I sense as a pastor in the church. You know, the COVID thing's been really hard on people, that separation, even though we've had virtual gatherings and all of that. But some of you just need a fresh touch from the Lord. You just need his restorative work just to touch you, to freshen your spirit, to draw you close to him. Some of you can't quite put your finger on it, but you're just saying, I just need God to touch me. And all of us find ourselves at times in our life where we just need the Lord to do work in us. Lord, I just need you to touch me. I need you to change me. And I believe the Lord wants to do that tonight. He wants to do his restorative work in our hearts, in his presence. And I believe tonight, I came expecting this is what God's going to do at every campus, including the online campus. So wherever you're at, you're saying, John, that's what I need. I just want you to stand right where you're at your seat at the North Campus, the West Campus, Joplin, here at South. You need the Lord. You're saying, I just want that restorative work in my life. I just need God to renew me in some ways. And it doesn't mean your whole life's out of whack. It just means, hey, I need a touch from God. And God delights in doing that. And if you're watching online, stand where you're at. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd just like you to lift your hands to the Lord and just say, Lord, please begin your restoration work. You begin to ask Him. I'm going to pray for you. Then we're going to worship and we'll close. Heavenly Father, you see everybody who stood. At all of the campuses, the people that are at home, Lord, you know exactly what everybody who's standing in your presence needs, and we all need your restoration work. Lord, you're a good shepherd. You've been with us through these last several weeks and months, but it's just so good to be in your presence in an unrushed, unhurried manner to receive from you. And God, I pray that you would reach down from heaven. And just as I had my arm around Candy a moment ago, the sheep here on the stage, that God, you would put your arm around each person who stood, and that God, you would envelop them in your love and your presence and your power and the anointing of your Holy Spirit, and do a work of restoration that only you can do. Because Lord, we desperately need it tonight. We desperately need a fresh touch from you. Restore our soul. You're our good shepherd. You're my shepherd. Lord, do your work tonight in your people. Now, just receive it. Just love him. Just be in his presence as the worship team leads us.